Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
I've been watching a lot of Christmas movies this year. I do every year. Everybody knows me knows that. The one thing most of the movies tell about, someplace in the movie, and especially at the end, is Christmas is a time of miracles. So what is a miracle? Here's the definition. A surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of divine agency. We can read about many accounts in the Bible of miracles that are written there. My favorite is the Red Sea, parting of the Red Sea. The second is raising the dead. Several incidents of that throughout Scripture. Feeding of the 5,000 is another one. And that's just to name a few. But I want to talk to you today about the greatest miracle of them all. You've heard that Christmas is the time of miracles. And the greatest miracle of them all is the birth of Jesus Christ. Of all the things written in the Bible, I believe the most people have heard of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Everything about the virgin birth is supernatural, and which leads me to, I want to read basically, I guess we'd call it Christmas story here, of the miracle of Christmas. It's found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph," that's when they got married, that's what the word means, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he was, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee thy wife, Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that there might be a fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." I'm going to give you three aspects of the miracle this morning. The first one, miracle, is Mary got pregnant. This was supernatural in itself. Now, I'm going to read you something that as a background information so you'll better understand what I'm going to preach on this morning. Marriage was arranged for individuals by parents, and this was basically done with the Jewish culture. Individual by parents, and contracts were negotiated. After this was accomplished, the individuals were considered married and were called husband and wife. They did not, however, begin to live together. Instead, the woman continued to live with her parents and the man with his for 1 year. The waiting period was to demonstrate the faithfulness of the pledge of purity given concerning the bride. If she was found with child in this period, she obviously was not pure, but had been involved in an unfaithful sexual relationship. Therefore, the marriage could be annulled. If, however, the one-year waiting period demonstrated the purity of the bride, the husband would then go to the house of the bride's parents and in a grand procession march lead his bride back to his home. There they would begin to live together as husband and wife and consummate their marriage physically. Matthew's story should be read with this background in mind. So knowing that, you can better understand what we're going to discuss this morning. You can see that Joseph now, he realizes she's pregnant. This is during that 1 year cycle, and realize she's pregnant. So finding that out, he wants to put her away, but he wants to put her away privately. And that's the reason is he is in love with Mary, and he doesn't want to make her a public example. And one of the second reasons is because most of the time the woman would have been stoned to death because of this happening. He wanted to do everything he could to protect her, and he wasn't willing to make her a public example. Now, but then in verse 20 and 21, an angel comes and explains to him what's going on, because he doesn't know what's going on. And Joseph, being a man of God, trusting in God, believes the angel and goes on with the marriage. Miracle number two, the Holy Spirit is the Father. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived is in the Holy Ghost. So if God can make the universe in 7 days, or actually 6 days, then can he magically cause a woman to be pregnant? Sure he can. And that's what happened. And it did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. So Mary becomes pregnant through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now God, through the Holy Ghost, gets Mary pregnant. No other woman has had a baby this way in the history. And there was a lot of miracles from God during that time. Christ could not have been born of a human father. And I want to explain this why. If he had been born with that, he would have came into the world with sin. Now, let me explain that. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, the man that where sin entered into the world was Adam. Adam and Eve represented the human race back in the Garden of Eden. To help you understand this, I've had people say, well, if I was back there, this wouldn't have happened. But that's wrong. If you really study human nature, you will realize whatever man or woman was in the Garden of Eden would have felt and sinned just the way they did. They represented the human race. And when he fell, as the scripture says, by death because of one man, now they had eternal life before the sin occurred. So now death came in after they committed the sin. So now they went from eternal life down to where they were going to live and die, grow of old age. And obviously I don't have to prove that to you because we do it every day. So what happened was the death now is passed upon all men and women. And what happens is the moment that doctor spanks your rear end, you have sin in your life at that age. On. You're born into the world with sin. You're dying and going to hell the moment you enter earth and you hit the floor running. So what happens is Mary couldn't have a Christ come into the world with a father. She had to be conceived of God bringing that in. So it was not of sin. Number three, God comes down and becomes human. That's a miracle. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now, in Scripture, we can see a lot of marvelous births. Samuel was one when his mother was completely barren and then ended up having a child because God told her. Isaac is a really good one. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they weren't just beyond childbearing age. They were so far beyond. It was a wonder that they were alive when they had the child. Which, I mean, he was, I forget the age now, 100, I think, and she was 90-something. And this was unheard of. But God did it that way to show that this was of God. But it still was a man and a woman that caused the pregnancy. John the Baptist was a tremendous born, too. That was foretold by the angels, and the father, you know, lost his speech because he didn't believe or questioned it. And there's so many other ones. But all these births took place between a man and a woman. Only Mary did not have a husband or have sex before Christ was born. And it specifically says that they didn't come together. So let's take this a step further. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word is translated Christ or Jesus. So that's what the Word, but they use the word here. So the Word, or Jesus Christ, was in the beginning of creation. Jesus Christ was with God at the beginning, and Jesus Christ was God in the beginning. He's part of the Trinity. Now, jump down to verse 14 of the same chapter. And it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So that's when Jesus Christ came into the world to dwell among us. Okay, "and beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth." So when Jesus Christ was walking the earth, he is God in the flesh. He did do one other thing, which you can go into Hebrews. I wasn't planning on saying this. He did give up some of his power to come down. He says he was a lower than the angels in Hebrew. And there was a reason for that. If you think about this, the whole time he was on earth, who did he depend upon? God the Father. Even though he was equal to him, he had to show his obedience to him. Because we're supposed to be, those that accept Christ as their Savior are supposed to be Christians, Christ-like. So we're supposed to be doing and imitating the same thing Christ did while he was here on earth. And that's part of the reason. So it's a whole big puzzle coming together. So the birth of Christ was a miracle. And all that was done so far, it makes a way for us to get to heaven. The question is this morning is, what will you do with what you know about the birth of Christ? Now, some people may, we're all also on the internet here, so people see us on the internet. By the way, I finally got a hold of a guy in the Netherlands that actually listens to our sermons. And he actually sent me some money. and I finally emailed him, and he finally, after, I don't know, a month, and he's a biker. And runs with some club up there. And he says he don't remember how he got a hold of me through the internet. So iPod or whatever you call it. Is a podcast? Something like that. Yeah. And he loves listening to our sermons and all. So it was pretty neat to hear from someone do that. And to send money. I've had people from other countries in Alaska and others in the past. But no one's ever sent me money before. But this is a chance to change your life if you're not saved and don't know Christ as your Savior. And then if you are saved, it's still an opportunity to renew who you are in Christ. This is Christ's birthday. I've been preaching it the last 4 weeks. When we have a birthday party, we bring presents to the person we're having the birthday of. Well, it's Christ's birthday. What are you going to give him this year? You going to read the Bible through in a year? Are you going to pray more? Are you going to come to the services more? I mean, there's so many things you can give him. You can tithe your money. You know, you can give your money to him. You can do your time to him. There's so much you can do. If you can't think of something, come to me. I can give you a whole list. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. I love this verse. I came across it and spoke on it on a spur of the moment at a camp one time when the pastor came up to me and said, "Will you challenge the boys?" I went, okay, and I didn't know where I was going to do. This was way before I was ever in the ministry. But it says here, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son." When the time was right is when God sent forth his son. He waited to a specific time. "Made of a woman, but made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And what I really like about this is God redeemed us, but he also, when we get saved, we're adopted into his family. We are actually part of the family, as if I was born there to begin with. And Christmas is a miracle in itself. Everything about it is a miracle. We experience miracles. People's lives change. And we were watching the end of, I don't remember what the name of the movie was last night, but apparently these women went on strike. We didn't see the first part of it. They went on strike for Christmas because no one was helping them. That's what I got out of it. At the end, the woman kept complaining near the end that whatever the husband did, it wasn't the way she wanted it done. She would have done it this way. The way they decorated the tree, the two boys, everything. She was starting to complain. And finally she realized at the end, that's not what it was all about. Everybody has a different way of looking at things. Her lesson was at the end, was that she had to be part of the family. And even though they may decorate the tree not as the way she would have done it, She started realizing the happiness of looking at the tree at the end and saying, oh, look, he did this and he made this up. And all. Both of his boys were college age, her boys. But it was a blessing to hear that she got so happy at the end because she realized that everything has to be done her way. And then she started, the whole family just got fell in love with each other even more because of it. And it kind of opened up a whole new future for them. And to me, that's what things are important here, is to remember what we're doing here for Christmas. That Christ came in that we can have a way to get to heaven. Get our minds off and we have to run and get a present. We have to wait in line. We have to get at the end of the parking lot to get a parking spot to walk in. So great. Most of us need exercise anyhow. So that's just that much more walking we have to do. But enjoy every part of the Christmas holidays. Cooking. Same thing. You can enjoy cooking. You can sit there and complain about it, but you can enjoy it as well. Preparations. Go and visit family. A lot of you are going to visit different family or you're going to have company come over Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Enjoy it, even if the house ends up getting a mess. We got a little six-year-old that can walk into a perfectly clean house and under 5 minutes look like a cyclone hit it. And all. Well, we got to get used to it and know that we can clean it up when it's done rather than get aggravated at the little one. And some of us are going to eat all the food up today. We got a bombless pits here. But that's what we got. I did promise Steve Edwards that I would fix them aside this, so save enough for two plates.
Better do that first.
Think about Christmas this year. Think of the miracle of Christmas and what it means to each of us and how it can change our lives. It's never too late to change. It's never too late to grow and get closer to the Lord and all. Those of us that are not saved, to get saved. Those of us that are saved, to get closer to the Lord. Make this be something different this Christmas. And it's not about me. It's not about my preaching. It's about the Word of God and your relationship between you and your Savior. That's what makes the difference. And that's what we need to be challenged at. Salvation is a miracle in itself. Think about the law had to be paid. There was no way around it. God didn't say, okay, we're going to put the law aside so you can get saved. No. He's too righteous and too holy. The law had to be paid. It had to be paid the right way. And that's what it took Jesus Christ coming into this world to do. And he did it for every one of us. But he's never going to make you get saved. He's not going to make you live a Christ-like life. It's something you have to do on your own. That's why life is full of decisions. Whether you make a good one or a bad one. And every day, life is full of decisions. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.